Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 2, Hiranyakashipu, King of the Demons, Text 50, to begin with. Lubdako vipine kaschit, pakshinam nirmito ntaka, vitatya jalam vidade, tatra tatra pralo bayan lubdaka hunter vipane in the forest kaschit some pakshinam of birds nimita appointed andake killer. Vitatya spreading. Jalam a net. Vidade captured. Tatra tatra here and there. Pralobayan luring with food. Translation: there was once a hunter who lured birds with food and captured them after spreading a net. He lived as if appointed by death personified as the killer of the birds. Purport. This is another incident from the histories. So as we can see that two things that people accept more easily philosophy from. One is children, the other is animals. If you can get a child to speak philosophy, then people will listen. And if you can get an animal to speak philosophy, then even more people will listen. So text 51. While wandering in the forest, the hunter saw a pair of Kalinga birds. Of the two, the female was captivated by the hunter's lure. Queens of Suyagya, the male Kalinga bird, seeing his wife put into the greatest danger in the grip of providence, became very unhappy. Because of affection, the poor bird, being unable to release her, began to lament for his wife. Alas, how merciless is providence. My wife, unable to be helped by anyone, is in such awkward position and lamenting for me. What will providence gain by taking away this poor bird? What will be the point? It's quite a philosophical bird. I haven't seen too many birds could express such philosophy. If unkind providence takes away my wife, who is half my body, why should he not take me also? What is the use of my living with half my body bereaved by loss of my wife? What shall I gain in this way? The unfortunate baby birds, bereft of their mother, are waiting in the nest for her to feed them. They are still very small and have not yet grown their wings. How shall I be able to maintain them? Purport. The bird is lamenting for the mother of its children because the mother naturally maintains and cares for the children. Yamaraj, however, is in the guise of a small bird. Hazarate explained that although his mother left him uncared for and wandering in the forest, the tigers and other ferocious animals had not eaten him. The real fact is that if the Supreme Personality of Godhead protects one, even though one may be motherless and fatherless, one can be maintained by the goodwill of the Lord. Otherwise, if the Supreme Lord does not give one protection, one must suffer in spite of the presence of his father and mother. Another example is that sometimes a patient dies in spite of a good physician and good medicine. Thus, without the protection of the Lord, one cannot live with or without parents. Another point in this verse is that fathers and mothers have protective feelings for their children, even in bird and beast society, not to speak of human society. Kali Yuga, however, is so degraded that a father and mother even kill their children in the womb on the plea of their scientific knowledge that within the womb of the child that within the womb the child has no life. Prestigious medical practitioners give this opinion. Therefore, the father and mother of this day kill their children within the womb. How degraded human society has become. Their scientific knowledge is so advanced that they think that within the egg and the embryo there is no life. Now, these so-called scientists are receiving Nobel Prizes for advancing the theory of chemical evolution. But if chemical combinations are a source of life, why don't the scientists manufacture something like an egg through chemistry and put it in an incubator so that a chicken will come out? What is their answer? With their scientific knowledge, they are unable to create even an egg. Such scientists are described in Bhagavad Gita as Maya Pritigyana, fools, whose real knowledge has been taken away. They are not men of knowledge, but they pose as scientists and philosophers, although their so-called theoretical knowledge cannot produce practical results. Rakshastiti means that Krishna can protect one. Now, if Krishna is actually God, controlling everything, then why should we think that he's incapable of protecting us? Of course, it also says, anukulyasya sankalpe, that first we should accept things favorable. Unless we accept things favorable, we don't really have a relation with Krishna. And without having a relation with Krishna, we won't find out very much about him. We won't find out anything about him. Naham prakasha sarvasha yogamaya samavrita buddhayam navijananti lokayam ajam avyam. That I am never manifest to the foolish and less intelligent, for them I am covered by my creative potency, yogamaya, and so the bewildered world, or the deluded world, knows me not, whom unborn and inexhaustible. Samudha, those who know nothing about God, the only thing they know is how to eat and how to sleep. Manidharva used to say when he goes on books in Germany, he gives someone a book and they look at it, and according to the color of the book, they try to figure out whether it would taste like chocolate or vanilla or maybe strawberry. That's the only way they could relate to the book. It's its potential taste if you ate it. So muda means, as Krishna says, abhijananti mamuda, those who know nothing about Krishna, or they think they know something about Krishna, but everything they know is wrong. Just like there was one magazine, Time magazine, and they wrote an article some 40 years ago or so about the sun. And they said, we've studied the sun for the last 10 years, and now we know more about the sun than all the other planets in the universe. Unfortunately, we just discovered that everything we thought we knew about the sun was wrong. In other words, people are actually, their leaders are fools. Andaya tandera upagyamanas te piksha tantra urudamibada. They're blind. They have no real vision. Their vision is that everything came out of nothing. And that from that nothingness, by the combination of chemicals, everything came about. But Prabhupada makes a simple point that if that was your theoretical knowledge is to be put to a scientific test, then get some chemicals that you're imagining, put them together, put them in an eggshell, put the eggshell in an incubator, and we can expect a chicken to come out. And if it doesn't come out, then your theoretical knowledge is all it is. It's not scientific. It's speculation. Or it's science fiction. So until you actually can prove something, demonstrate something, then just understand that you're not scientists. You're science fiction writers. And that your museums are simply fairy tale. It's like Disneyland, that's all. You can go there into it, just like you go to Disneyland and you see Peter Pan and Tinkerbell. And most adults, at least, will not think that this is actually a place called, there's actually a place called Never Never Land, where we can go with Peter Pan. Because they know it's a fairy tale. So those who have knowledge, they know that these great so-called museums, they're just fairy tales for the most part, where people go to get entertained. So, part of that is that there is a Krishna, and Krishna can actually protect one. Rakshis yatiti vishvaso gopriva varanam data. So anukula, that the first thing is anukula yasya sankalpe, accept things which are favorable, try to establish some relation with Krishna, try to follow what Krishna has to say, and then Krishna will reciprocate. And anukulasya sankalpe, yas, and the things that we're not supposed to do, gradually give them up also. That what we're supposed to do is always remember Krishna and never forget him. Smarta vyaksadatam Vishnu vismarta jatu na kinshit sarva vidi nisedya syura atiyara eva kinkara. That the whole purpose of sadhana bhakti, and sadhana bhakti is to arrive at bhava bhakti, is to help us remember Krishna and not forget him. The more we remember Krishna as a result of our devotional service, then the more we advance in Krishna consciousness. And so we accept things favorable so we can remember Krishna, and we give up things unfavorable so we can remember him even more consistently, even more deeply. And when we come to the platform of Rakshisyatiti, to believe that Krishna will protect us, then we feel dependent on Krishna. And the more we feel dependent upon Krishna, the more Krishna can reciprocate. When Gajendra was in the ocean on the heavenly planets and the crocodile was biting his foot for 1,000 years, he struggled and struggled with all his might, and which was quite great, but he couldn't get free from the crocodile. Only when he realized he was going to lose, and he picked up a lotus flower and prayed in his trunk, and prayed for the Supreme, whoever that might be, to come and help him. Then the demigods didn't come, but Krishna came, riding in the back of Garuda, and helped him by picking Gajendra and the crocodile up from the water, and cutting the crocodile's head off with his Sudarshan Chakra. So although he didn't know who Krishna was, but he knew there was a Supreme, and he prayed for the Supreme, and the Supreme came. Because there's only one Supreme. Similarly, when Draupadi was trying to protect herself from Dusasan disrobing her, even though she's a great devotee, she had one hand on her sari and one hand praying to Govinda to help her. But Dusasan was a great Kshatriya, strong Kshatriya warrior, and therefore she was losing the struggle, although she must have been pretty strong to even put up a struggle. Don't mess with Kshatriya women. In any case, she was being unsuccessful, so then she put both hands up and prayed for Govinda, and Govinda became unlimited amount of cloth to protect her dignity. But only when she surrendered to Govinda, when she had no other source of protection, then Govinda came and reciprocated. So we think my body, my house, my bank balance, my family, these things will protect me. And if they don't work, then we turn to Govinda. If he's on the last of the list, then he's probably going to be the last one to help you. So one has to become aware that Krishna actually can protect us if we feel dependent on him. If we actually feel we need his protection, then he'll reciprocate. And if we think, well, maybe I'll call you when I need you, then Krishna will come when we need him, when we feel we need him. Therefore, devotees sometimes put themselves into a situation of difficulty so that they can depend upon Krishna. Like Bhukta Shushan, generally we're not so expert, so that everyone we meet, we know exactly who they are and what they're thinking. We know exactly how to approach them and sell them a book. It's always one advance is a book distribution, less by learning techniques and more than feeling to rely upon Krishna and becoming under, as an instrument for the super soul. Then Krishna, the super soul, can do amazing things. And when we try to interfere with our tiny conditioning, then we can only do very tiny things. Nimitra matram bhavasava sachin. But Krishna, we become an instrument for Krishna. One of the stages is to feel dependent on him. So then he can, didami buddhi yogam tam, he can give us intelligence. We can hear the intelligence and we can come under the intelligence to perform our service. And here it says that in any circumstance, balasya neha, sharanam pitaro nishingha, nartasya chagadam, udanvita majutam now, nartasya chativideri hundras shastas, tadvido tanubritam, tvat upekshitanam. So the child may be carefully, may be cared by the parents, but the child may die anyhow. And the medicine and the doctor may be good, the doctor may be expert, and the medicine may be very powerful, but still the patient may die. The boat may be strong, but it still may sink before it crosses the ocean or the river. So if Krishna desires, then the boat will cross, the medicine and the doctor will be effective, the child will grow up, and if Krishna desires, then the child will die, the medicine will be ineffective, and the boat will sink. And even if the child crosses, grows up, even if the medicine is effective, even if the boat crosses the river safely, still everyone dies anyhow. Therefore, the conclusion is one should rely upon Krishna to protect one so that one can perform devotional service. But at the same time, one should understand Krishna's protection ultimately is rakshisya titi vishva, so have no interest goptribe varanam tata. Have no interest except for Krishna's interest. That become an instrument for Krishna, for Krishna's service, that's our real interest. Then we'll get out of this misconception, the material conception of life, and therefore we'll be able to free to come to the spiritual platform of experience and actually participate eventually in Krishna's pastimes, even within this body. The ever blissful, nectarian, loving pastimes of Krishna, eternal pastimes. Even in this body it's possible if one becomes Krishna's instrument. And as long as we're desiring to fulfill desires, material desires, then our consciousness is covered and we can't even see things outside of ourselves or inside of ourselves. We only see the results of our desires. So one should steadily try to put his mind upon the process of devotional service by understanding Krishna's proprietorship over everything, Krishna's control over everything, becoming dependent upon Krishna by ascertaining what Krishna wants us to do with his energies, and then desiring to fulfill those desires of Krishna and his representatives in order to please them, and therefore becoming their instrument by becoming conscious of Krishna. Then one may be able to do good for oneself and do good for others, but if we don't follow the process, then whatever we're doing, to some extent or another, is a waste of time. If we don't come to the point of actually doing activities, knowingly what Krishna wants us to do, what he wants us to say, what he wants us to think, what he wants us to feel, unless we're doing activities in that mood of devotional service, then what we're doing is maybe devotional service, which is always auspicious, but it may not be in the proper consciousness, namely Krishna consciousness. We're not only working, But we're actually trying to experience Krishna, Krishna consciousness. It's not just activities we're interested in, it's actually transcendental experience. And that's only possible when we dedicate what we're doing to Krishna under the guidance of his representatives. Then Krishna will give us all protection. Then we'll have no interest outside of Krishna's interest. And we'll realize how wonderful Krishna is and how wonderful everything he does, which is everything. How wonderful everyone is, how wonderful everything is, when we actually become, realize how wonderful Krishna is. Because Krishna is everything. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions or comments?
Hare Krishna. Maharaj, sometimes I see some friends of mine don't want to take medicine or don't want to do something that seems to be in their interest. And they say, it's all up to Krishna, I just depend on Krishna, and Krishna will protect me. And it seems to be also the conclusion of the Draupadi story, that only when she lifted two arms, then she was protected. So, how to understand, how much should we protect ourselves, and when should we take medicine, and when should we depend on Krishna, or why should we take medicine if we depend on Krishna? What's the proper understanding?
Well, if Krishna sends you the medicine, then you should probably take it. It's like that story of people who are living near a dam, and they're all worshiping Jesus Christ. And they got notification that the dam was going to break it. And so they came to evacuate everyone. So everyone got into the buses and the cars, and they all evacuated the city. But one Christian said, no, you have no faith. I just depend upon Christ. So the dam broke and the town flooded, and this man had to go up to the higher floors of his house. And so they came with a boat, asked him to get on the boat to save him. He said, no, you're all the devil. You have no faith in Jesus Christ. He'll come and save me. So further flooded, he had to go to the roof of his house. So a helicopter came to take him off the roof. He said, no, you people are the devil. You have no faith in Jesus. Jesus will come and save me. So then the dam rose further. The water from the dam rose further, flooded the roof, and the man drowned. But because he was pious, he went to heaven. And so there he met Jesus, and they embraced, and he was crying and very happy. He said, Jesus, I'm so happy to see you. But I have one doubt. He said, I believe that you were going to come and save me. That the house, when the dam broke, I got into my house. I thought you were going to come and save me. Then I thought I'd go into my roof and I thought you were going to save me, but I drowned. So Jesus Christ said, well, I sent a boat for you. Then I sent a helicopter for you. What can I do? You didn't accept any of them. So we think something's going on outside of Krishna. Krishna says, I'm the healing herb. So why do you make healing herbs? He expected people to use them to heal. So we think, just like Sanatana Goswami, he developed itching sores when he was going through the Jharikhanda forest on his way to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And so when he got there, his body was filled with sores all over his body. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would come and embrace him, and the pus from the sores would go onto Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's body. So he decided, he told Haridas Thakura, when the Rath Yatra comes, I'm going to throw myself under the wheels of the Jagannath cart so I don't offend Chaitanya Mahaprabhu anymore. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, being omniscient, he knew Sanatana Goswami's desire. And he started to chastise him. He said, actually, your body, he asked Haridas Thakura, this man, well, if you have someone else's property, then how can you destroy it? So how is it that Sanatana Goswami, he's planning to commit suicide, but actually his body doesn't belong to him, it belongs to me. He's already surrendered it. And I have plans for it. So this man, how could he do this? How could he take someone's property and destroy it? So the idea is that we may think, well, I'm just going to rely upon Krishna. But how much is our really faith? Are we actually on the level of Vasudev Dat, who had leprosy, and when he wanted to find Vasudev, actually his name was the leper, and he heard that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was somewhere, and he went there, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu just left, and the leper, who was a very advanced devotee, because his body was filled with holes in the body where the worms were eating it, and if a worm would drop out from one of the holes, he'd pick it up and put it back in. So obviously he was quite advanced. So he went to the place where he heard Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was there, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wasn't there. So he fell on the ground out of disappointment and fainted. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu immediately rushed back, picked him up and embraced him, and his disease and his lamentation went far away. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has an interest also in such things. He's not indifferent to such things, because if we have a healthy body, we can do more service. So we should take care of the body for Krishna. Anything else? Yes. Okay, thank you very much. Grandharaj Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.